before we get too acrimonious, perhaps it would be better for the moderator to do a little moderation. I beg your pardon?
I thought it was time the moderator was called on for a little moderation.
Yes, I quite agree. Furthermore, it's almost time for the building to close, and I promised to the director of the museum to bring the discussion to a close before 9:45. Now, I do feel that it's my duty, however, to pull the threads together once more, though you probably know what those threads are and what knots they tie. You see, to begin with, of course, a very sharp distinction between the artist and the critic, the man who makes the work of art and the man who talks about the work of art. But whatever else the critic is doing, he's talking about works of art. He's not creating them except insofar as his critical essays are in themselves works of art, which indeed very frequently happens. It's perfectly clear, as Mr. Frankenstein has said, that the critic is not intending to educate the artist, to tell the artist what he should do. Very few critics, I think, nowadays, except possibly the more sensational ones, would attempt to tell an artist that he ought to vary the drawing of a figure or change its colors or this, that, and the other. The person he is talking to is this mythological animal, the public, which is us. Now, we are really interested because, I mean, after all, we come into museums, we go to exhibitions, and we are bewildered. There's no question about it. We get pleasure from certain things. We get intense displeasure or pain from other things. And we have a profound conviction in our intellectual and our aesthetic humility that the people who made these things must have had some idea when they did so. And I can't but feel that critics, as described by Mr. Frankenstein, Mr. Bateson, for that matter, Mr. Ritchie and Mr. Goldwater, serve us, at any rate, to a very large extent. They can explain, they can tell us what they see, they actually tell us what is before their eyes. When one reads Mr. Frankenstein's notes in the programs to the San Francisco Symphony, one is enlightened, one knows what is going on before one. They're not gushed, they're not saying how deeply he felt and this, that, and the other. He isn't interested in himself, and I think part of his great gift is his ability to forget himself when he's writing those notes and talk to the people who are reading. Now, in spite of the apparent sharpness of conflict in our opinions this evening, I think there's a fundamental unity. Because on the one hand, the only difference between the critics present is this difference over a purely psychological matter, which is whether understanding or explanation or the scientific way of talking about things is destructive of pleasure or of emotion, or whether it isn't. But that, after all, is an extremely minor matter. I think Mr. Bateson, who brought this point up, has a very good point. It is certainly true that when you thoroughly understand anything, you lose your tensions about it, you lose your sharp feelings of anguish of the thing, you get into a state of calm. But on the other hand, that very state of calm is an emotional state and a pleasurable state, and it is induced by the understanding which you have. And I think Mr. Bateson would be the first person to admit that. But on all other issues, you will notice that your critics are in just as much agreement this evening as your artists were this afternoon. The artists were all agreed that the source of art was in the artist himself, that he worked in accordance with certain fundamental principles which existed, which operated through him, so to speak, and of which he need not even be conscious in some cases. Your critics this evening are all agreed that they're not laying down the law to the artist, they're not telling the artist what they ought to do or what they oughtn't to do, and remember we're talking about the modern critic and not the...
Well, why don't they tell them?
Because
why don't they tell the artists what to do?
For judging from what they've said, Mr. Wright...
If they're capable of telling you what he's done, I should think they'd be capable of telling the artist what to do.
No, an astronomer can tell you how the stars behave, but he can't tell the stars anything. Similarly, a biologist... Bio- biologist can explain the behavior of animals, but he doesn't tell the animals how to behave. Now, I think it would be highly presumptuous, and I think all the critics are agreed with me on this point, that they, at any rate, this particular group of critics, is not out to tell artists what to do, but to tell the public what the artist has done, which seems to me to be a perfectly reasonable and, in fact, a very humble role for them to fulfill.
And, Mr. Moderator, a perfectly dangerous proceeding.
Maybe dangerous, but we live in a dangerous age. It is now, ladies and gentlemen, 8:45, at which time I promise to stop talking and to vacate the platform. I don't want to go
on just a moment
without expressing my very deep thanks to the San Francisco Art Association for making this roundtable possible.
And he's a moderator.
Kind attention.
Mr. Moderator, may I say a word about those program notes?
Yes, sir. Of course.
I believe that the program note is one of the things that's the matter with the concert. I remember going to a concert in Chicago when I was a much younger man. And I was listening to a thing by Debussy. It took me back, to my boyhood, introspective, way down inside. It seemed to dig up in me all the things of my past that were marvelous, repentant, everything. Then I came to the point, I looked at the program notes, and the man who wrote the program notes said that Debussy had in mind clouds. Well, absolutely the antithesis of what the music was doing to me. Now, who was right? Was I right, or was the critic who wrote the program notes right?
Well, of course, it far be it for me to judge. I was talking about Mr. Frankenstein's notes.
Talking of a principle, talking of something that may mislead a great many people who might otherwise find personal interpretation and enjoyment from the concert, who has to take the critic at his face value.
That's all then, ladies and gentlemen.